In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EW10 Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you as we start a new week this week, this first full week of October. And just got back from the Denver Marian Conference right in downtown Denver, Colorado at the Convention Center. It was a wonderful, wonderful event, and got a chance to hang out a little bit with Father Chris Alar, who I love dearly, wonderful man of God. Went on pilgrimage with him last year, and also got a chance to see Father Bill Casey. I've not seen him for a while. I said, hey, how you doing? And did not know he had been battling cancer. And this was actually his first speaking engagement of the year, you know, after discovering cancer and then going through treatment and all of that. So please keep him in your prayers. He looked well. He said Mass and gave great talks. Just awesome. Both guys were just amazing. Had a wonderful time. So if you're in that area, go to that conference. It was really, really great. I had a wonderful, wonderful time. And it wasn't too cold in Denver. It was for that time of year. So today, my friends, we're going to talk about stopping the bleeding of leaving the church. You know, we know all the numbers. The studies are showing that a number of Catholics have been leaving the church. And so what kind of things can we do, especially for our young people, to, you know, again, stop the bleeding of them leaving the church? Would love to hear your thoughts and ideas on what we can do to stem the tide. Now, I think culturally things are starting to shift back. Things, you know, I think we've turned the corner from the extremism of some of the things that we've seen in the culture with marriage and gender and those kinds of things. So I think we're starting to pull back now from that. But that still doesn't mean that people are automatically going to start coming back into the church or going to stop leaving. So what can we do? Would love to hear your thoughts today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And had a beautiful day out here, by the way, today in Portland. A beautiful sunny day. You know, went for my walk and ran a bunch of errands because I've been gone for 2 weeks. And so just a wonderful day. Really excited to start another week with you here on Beacon of Truth. And another reason I'm so excited, because all the amazing folks that bring you this show every day. I'm talking about Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who help us out on social media. Matt Kabinski, who will be screening your calls today. And man, the one and only, drum roll please, Ace McKay. Ace, how you doing?
I'm good. I feel like as a drummer, we should be able to do better than just a mouth drum roll. Like, where's our budget? Can we get a real drum in here somewhere?
You know what I'm really enjoying as I'm traveling around is that when people say, and this is increasing, which is a very good thing. When people say, oh, Deacon, I love watching EW10. I love the radio show. They always say you and Ace. They don't just say me anymore. They used to say me in the beginning. Now they're saying you and Ace. And I'm like, yes. That's awesome.
What is it they say? If you're going to remember me, just remember either how to say my name or spell it correctly.
Yes, that's right. Oh, man. How was your weekend?
It was good. We had to, unfortunately, this is where adulting is not my favorite, is when a car dies and you have to go car shopping. So that pretty much consumed most of Saturday. But praise God, with the right price, affordable payment, and, you know, all the things that needed to, everything that needed to line up, lined up. So as much as my wife is having buyer's remorse, I was like, it's okay.
But weren't you looking for a car for your daughter too?
Oh, yeah. But we got, that was like a year ago.
So okay. I thought, okay.
She's so good. But it's one of those where my wife doesn't, like, she likes to be economical, but she also wants to feel safe. And I was like, look, and as your husband, there is no price tag that can put that for me. So if she feels safe in the car she got, then let's make that happen.
Yeah, there you go. I like that. I like that a lot. But last night was the first time I got back yesterday from being gone for 2 weeks, on the speaking tour with the Australians and then at this conference in Denver. So my wife and I had a date night last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the first time I got to see pictures of her trip to Italy.
Excellent.
And so we went out last night and then went to a movie after dinner, which was really nice. And so nice to reconnect. And then today just running a bunch, doing the walking and running a bunch of errands, just trying to get trying to bills and stuff like that, just the practical things of life, So.
Yeah. So when with your wife traveling and you traveling, do you guys ever have like trip envy?
No, because I'm be going to Italy in 2 weeks. So, so she just came back.
Well, la di da.
She just wishes she could travel more. But it, I mean, obviously, she's got a very busy private practice and other things, and this is my job, So it's a little bit different. But she loves when we travel together though, which is always really nice.
Yeah.
But I am having a problem though. I don't know what's going on with my. So I was playing. I got back. I guess I was itching to play. So I was playing yesterday.
Yeah.
And something's wrong with my. I don't think it's the amp. I think it's my pedal, the heavy metal pedal I have, the Boss one.
Mm-hmm.
I checked the connections. Everything looks right, but all the other pedals are working fine through the amp. But when I hit that pedal, it's not crunching. It's not giving that
Are you going
heavy
off
distortion?
Battery power? Or are you doing power?
No,
power?
That's the first thing I. Well, no, I have all of them. Hardwired for the pedal board.
Just check.
And I double check all the. I took it off, cleaned it, put it back, and still just not sounding right, man. It's not,
It's not your ears. You're not like too old to rock and roll anymore.
No, I may have to get another one. I mean, I've had that. Gosh, I had that pedal. I got that pedal in college. Now that I think about it, I was thinking, when did I get that pedal? I'm remembering. I think I only had two pedals in college. I had the Chorus, which I used when I played in a jazz band. And then for the other group that I played with, I just had the Boss pedal. And that's got to be, 30 years old now?
Wow.
Oh, man, just get another one.
I was going to say, I think it's time that you've clearly worked your way into being able to graduate up.
Yeah, I know.
Because that's the thing about being a musician that they never tell you till you're in the throes of it is it first the pedal? Is it second the chord? Is it last, the power? Like, it's all those things.
Well, that's exactly what I checked. Because I checked the signal chain, and I did each pedal individually. They all work fine except for that one.
Right.
So I said, it's got to be the pedal. And then I was, I just remembered how old that pedal is. So I think I'm just going to go out this week and get another one, an updated one. But you think I can get anything for it? Do people like into vintage pedals? Like maybe I can trade.
Yeah, there's always,
like
because things come back in full circle. It's one of those where, anytime, especially when I rebuilt my studio kit, I went back and found cymbals from people from 20 years ago because I didn't really like the quality of what was coming out now. So I'd much rather have what I was used to and what I knew I could control, whether it be in the acoustic settings, whether it was in studio basement or if it was, in a live setting on stage somewhere. There's just a certain crispness to the way they used to make things. So I don't know. You might be able to. If nothing else, stores like to get the retro gear. And I'm affectionately calling that because it's old. But all of that to say, a lot of times they'll give you a pretty decent trade up for whatever new thing you need to buy.
Yeah. I'll do that. I'll take the pedal off the board and bring it to, we have a guitar center. We have a guitar center actually near my house now. Not opened up not too long, about a year ago.
See, I feel like we're deterring any future guitar players because they're like, I got to hassle with all that just to play six strings? Yeah. It's worth it, kid.
Yeah, it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. So, yeah, I'll take it down there and see if they'll trade it in. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, you were talking about date night. My wife and I had movie night last night and decided to watch a rock doc on festivals from the 80s and 90s, like the successes and failures. So they talk about, the revamp of Woodstock and Lilith Fair and all the different ones and the ones that did well and the ones that didn't and why they were successful and why they weren't and how the record industry was kind of pushing against it. It was cool because, when you think about those big festivals, you just think, you book the band and you go to the show. But you don't think about all the nuances that go behind it. And it just kind of changes. It goes beyond just the music, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You know, and in fact, you mentioned the previews yesterday. It was a preview for Bruce Springsteen.
Yep.
Bobby coming out. So I was like, man, they're doing everything. Like what they had there, the Freddie Mercury. Then they had Elton John, and now they've got Bruce Springsteen. Oh, they had Bob Dylan.
Yep.
Movie about him, and now Bruce Springsteen. Those seem to be gaining popularity.
Yeah, I mean, it's the formula now is just to find the artist that everybody wants to rediscover, and you can't go wrong with the artist that they've been choosing.
All right. Stopping the bleeding of leaving the church is our topic today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. How can we stem the tide? 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986. First person that might jump in my head, Oscar Peterson.
Yeah.
You know, that boogie woogie style he used to play a lot on the. Oh, that guy was so. The guy was sick.
Yeah.
He was incredibly. I love watching videos of how talented that guy was. Amazing.
Yeah, one of my favorite scenes, but favorite movies too, but the movie The Green Book, which tells kind of the autobiographical of. Don Shirley.
With the white driver during the time of Jim Crow driving the black singer around and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah.
Won an Oscar for Best Picture. But what's cool is in there, he's classically trained, right? And he's playing jazz and all these, you know, places across the South. And he gets in this one, like, blues and boogie bar, and he had never improvised with a band before. So he's just playing by himself, and then the band comes and joins him. And it just, like, completely turned around to this kind of style, and he comes off and his driver goes, now that's how you play the piano.
I remember that scene. He wanted to eat in the restaurant in which he was going to be playing it. And his dress room was like a closet or something like this. So forget this. So he left.
Yep.
And he went and he found that club, and he went in there and just started jamming. It was awesome. That was a great scene in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. One of my favorite spots in Nashville is the Blues and Boogie Bar there, because it's set up like New Orleans style, and they have a band in the front and a band in the back, and it's usually like chill to then have kind of the more danceable bands in the back, and then it's set up with like a tier, so it's like you can watch it at, you know, any level, and I don't know. It's the vibe that's like, oh yeah, Nashville's more than just country music.
Yeah, I tell you. But all you guys out there, if you really want to treat yourself to see how amazing God can, what kind of talents God can give to people, Oscar, just Google Oscar Peterson and watch a video of him playing. Mm-hmm. Man.
That's great. That
Woo. I'm Deacon Harold Burke. Series listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're talking about stopping the bleeding of leaving the church. What can we do to stem the tide and have people not only stay, but also come back to the Catholic faith? That's what we're talking about today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, if you found yourself today saying, Saint Michael, defend us in battle, then you need the wall plaque that's available in the religious catalog right now. His left hand, he holds a shield that literally reads that statement verbatim, and you can check it out easily and order when you get orders of $75 or more. Remember, just use the code word free at checkout. But again, when you shop the religious catalog, just go to EWTNRC.com.
My friends, it's now time for the Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. The Soulful Psalms is we take one of the Psalms from the Book of Sung Praises from the wisdom literature of the Old Testament that we hear in every holy sacrifice and Mass, like we heard this past weekend, or today if you were able to go to Mass today, and that we also pray during the Liturgy of the Hours or the Divine Office, and we connect that Psalm to your everyday lived experience. Well, today we're going to take a look at Psalm 119, the longest Psalm of any of the Psalms. It's broken up into 22 parts, each part representing a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So this Psalm is 176 verses long. But today we're looking at the Hey strophe. So he is the fifth letter of the Jewish alphabet, Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Daleth, He. And Psalm 119 is an extended meditation on the law of God. Right, beautiful meditation. This was one of we used to pray this during midday prayer when I was in the monastery, and I used to love. Well, first I love midday prayer. It's a beautiful little office, and we always used to start off with some strophe of Psalm 119. So I love this. So we're going to just look at the beginning of it. We're starting at verse 33, which is the start of the strophes in the hay section of Psalm 119. Again, Psalm 119 has no prescript or superscript, so we don't know exactly who wrote this psalm, but it's a beautiful extended meditation on God's law. All right. So verse 33, Lord, teach me the way of your statutes, and I will keep them to the end. Right now, this is very interesting because we see in the story of Israel, which is also our story as well, God extends an invitation to share life and communion with him. At first, we accept it and we say yes, but then sin comes in. We get tempted. The things in the world and the people around us lure us away from that relationship with the Lord, and we fall into sin. We separate ourselves from God's love. And then as a result of that, because we're freely choosing no longer to live in God's love, bad things happen. We've seen the people of Israel, other nations come and overcome them. And then they turn back to God and God rescues them. And then we see that pattern over and over and over again. And we see that pattern in our lives as well. We want to do the right thing. We don't want to sin. We don't want to look at porn. We don't want to overeat. We don't want to do all these things. But yet, as St. Paul says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and sometimes we cave in to those lusts and desires and disordered desires that move us away from God. But we still, our hearts, though, even though our minds and our wills may be at least temporarily moved away from God, the heart is still crying out, Lord, teach me your statutes. I will keep them to the end. And that's why we need the grace of the sacraments. Especially the sacrament of reconciliation, right? When we receive that sacrament, it's not just, yes, our sins are forgiven. Absolutely. The slate is wiped clean. The objective fact of our mortal sin is gone. The sin is forgiven. No question or doubt about it. But we have to cooperate with the grace. That's the key. To continue to say yes to God's invitation to love, life, intimacy, and communion. That may mean we have to cut people out of our lives or not go places or certain things that may lure us back into sin to avoid those things. It's typically worded as avoiding the near occasion of sin, right? But yet we still cry out to the Lord like the psalmist does here. And he continues, verse 34, grant me insight that I may keep your law and observe it wholeheartedly. So we have a parallelism here, which is wonderful. So he says, teach me your statutes and I will keep them. Give me insight. So not just teach me your statutes. Help me to see how your statute is going to help me conform more perfectly to your will, Lord. Right? How is my will going to link up more with your will in following your statutes? Right? Because the culture says God's statutes limit us or restrict us. No, it's just the opposite is true. Actually, following the ways of the Lord frees us. It's freeing, right? I use this analogy all the time with young people. It's like an athlete, right? An Olympic athlete. They train for decades for an event that happens every 4 years and to win a piece of gold hung around their neck. And for that, they're willing for years to give up all kinds of good things so that they can achieve the highest level. And the same thing, we sacrifice. That's what virtue is. We sacrifice good things. We get into these habits of following God's law. Why? So that we can be free to become the person who God created us to be. That's ultimate freedom. So we discipline ourselves and we live virtuously in order to be great. That's the key. And that's what that reminds me of when I read verse in Psalm 34 about giving insight so that I can observe your law wholeheartedly. That means with my whole heart, not just ritually observe it. Right? This is one of the things the Pharisees did. They followed the law, the letter of the law, but it was the spirit of the law that Jesus was calling them out on so many times in the scriptures. And so we want to follow God's law, not just out of rote, but out of love, right? With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. All right, verse 35. Guide me in the path. And there's a series of parallelisms here. Where it's kind of repeating the same kind of thought, but expressing it in a different way. Guide me in the path of your commandments, for in them is my delight. See, now here's another twist on it. So guide me in the path. So following God's commandments is like following a road, following the path, like the spiritual GPS. And if you follow the GPS, you don't get lost. You know, now when sin comes in, you know, you may be diverted off the path, right? And then the GPS has the recalculating, right? That's like sometimes we get off track, we go to confession, we have to get back on track again. So when we get off track, recalculating, and we go to confession, get back on track again. But the spiritual GPS is leading us, guiding us toward, what's the ultimate end? Where's the road end? Relationship with God forever in heaven. That's the end of the road. For in them is my delight. So we take joy in following the laws of the Lord, right? We take joy in following the ways of our God. I love that. I love this line. Bend my heart to your decrees and not to wrongful gain. So I love that. So we're asking the Lord to shape our hearts, right? Bend my heart, not force me to do something that I don't want to do. But Lord, come into my heart and let me see that if I open my heart and allow you to come in, that allow you like a potter and clay to mold me and to shape me. And I'm allowing that to happen, Lord. Then I know that I will be firm and steadfast in your ways because I'm following your law and not for wrongful gain. Right. So the things we want to gain are the things that are going to lead us ever closer in a relationship with the Lord, and not things that are going to lead us away from intimacy with God. Again, there's a lot of temptation out there in the world today. That's certainly true, you know. But if our hearts and align with our will, so the mind and the heart working together, you know, and so we have to put ourselves in situations where I constantly, as I'm walking, doing my walk, or just walking around the house, I just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Mm. You know, and I think about the travels and the people that are being impacted by the work that God has me doing, because certainly not me. It's definitely the Lord. I just say, thank you, Jesus. Like things like that, I think is allowing God to form our hearts and to turn us away from thoughts of sinning.
Yeah, and I heard it said yesterday, someone had made the comment that understanding God's glory helps us to understand our purpose a lot better.
I like that. I like that. Say that again.
So understanding God's glory helps us to understand what our purpose is.
Yeah, I like that.
Kind of simple, like, but heavy, that. You know?
Yeah, but that's so true. That's so true. And that's why we should take glory in the Lord, like glorify the Lord with me. Together, let us praise his name, it says in the Psalms.
Yeah.
Right. And so the glory is not in ourselves. The glory is recognizing that any talent, any gifts, anything that I have doesn't come from me. It comes from the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
I love that.
So true.
All right. We're talking about stopping the bleeding of leaving the church. What can we do to stem the tide? Now, culturally, I think things are shifting back. But what can we do to keep people in the church? 833-288-EW10. That's 833-288-3986. It sounds like one of those little cartoon mantra things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the... like Teen Titans or something there.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo. That's what I thought of when I first heard it.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo. My mind keeps going to Phineas and Ferb again.
Yeah.
One of my kids' favorites. But was fun. And they had good music in some of those cartoons, actually.
Oh, sure. I mean, yeah. That was, you know, before, like, everything seemed to kind of generate computer. Like, they had real musicians in the band, and they had, you know, real artists drawing all that stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So much cooler.
Yeah. But what's the Phineas and Ferb, one of my favorite songs of theirs was Squirrel in My Pants. Squirrel. It was... They have these weird scenarios, like they were in a park, and one of the bad guys was doing something affecting the animals, and the mm-hmm. squirrels were running around. It jumped in and started running around in his fantasy, and he started singing this song called Squirrel. Like, what? But it was catchy, though. That's the part. It was catchy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I tell you. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers here on Beacon of Truth, and today we're talking about stopping the bleeding of leaving the church. We all know statistics about the number of people who are leaving, but I think culturally we're starting to stem the tide. Things are starting to shift back. But what can we do without compromising the faith, like so many want us to do? Well, guess what? We're not we're not any other church other than the church founded by Jesus Christ. So we will not compromise our teachings. So what can we do, again, not to water down or make the church more attractive by doing things that, quite frankly, just make it seem the church seem more secular? But what can we do to transmit the beauty of the faith to those who want to leave or who are leaving, or to have them to come back? Would love to hear from you today. Give us a call. Stopping the Bleeding of Leaving the Church, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Well, of course, as in addition to all the EWTN radio programs that you get on a daily basis, we have EWTN Radio Extra, which you can download in the mobile app. And, of course, catch all the extra programs, maybe some of the encores of things you might have missed, but easy to do. When you go into the app store today, just search EWTN and then download and enjoy today.
All right. Stopping the bleeding of leaving the church. That's our topic today on Beacon of Truth. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. So we've all heard the statistics, right? And yet another study came out just recently. And this was in, it was called Religious Transmission, A Solution to the Church's Biggest Problem, published by University of Notre Dame's Church Life Journal. And in there, you know, they were talking about, you know, the stats we've all heard. Back in the early 1970s, after the Second Vatican Council, 84% of the of those who were raised Catholic still identified as Catholic as adults. But in 2002, 74% of people raised Catholic only still identified as Catholic as adults. And by 2022, just a few years ago, it dropped to 62%. So from 84%, 74%, and then a few years ago, 62% of those raised Catholic still identified as Catholic as adults. We also see that in the early 70s, 34% of participants raised Catholic were attending Mass every week. And by 2002, that had fallen to 20%. And in 2022, 11%. That's scary. So from 34%, those were raised Catholic attending weekly Mass or more often when they were adults, right? So that was 34%, then to 20%, and now to 11%. The study also reported that the church is losing 9 out of 10 cradle Catholics, and most of them are not leaving to join another church. They're becoming religiously unaffiliated. And we know that, right? That they're when they put down, what are you? You have choices, Catholic, Protestant, Buddhist, Muslim, Hindu, or none. They're putting none. No religious affiliation at all. Again, I think, things are starting to turn around now. I think the tide is starting to stem and things are coming back. But what can we do? What can we actively do to engage people who are away from the church, especially those who are raised, like our kids, right? Those who are raised in the faith and are away, and to get them to come back. Again, without compromising the teachings of the faith, without trying to change the church into something that it's not, to make it more entertaining, like the secular culture. And no. But people have to understand what the why of the faith and how it connects to their everyday lived experience, because everything that we do, everything is directed toward deep, intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that, I believe, is the key. So overall, there's been a decline in the number of Americans who prioritize their Catholic faith, who put it as a main priority in their life. Again, in 2013, 72% of Americans considered religion to be the most important thing in their lives. And by 2023, 10 years later, only 53% said that religion was important. And so what did they say? What's the cause of this decline in these areas? Well, they said it's weaker social connections among Catholics, the value gaps between Catholic morality and mainstream American morality, or actually immorality is more like it, and the advent of the internet and smartphones. All right, so that's some of the reasons why they're saying why people seem to be losing a lot of their faith and stop going to mass. Weaker social connections. The gap in values between what the church teaches and what the culture is teaching and affirming, the internet and smartphones. But I would say this, there are, yes, those things may be factors, but we can also be in those spaces as well and share the faith with people. I just heard the stat the other day. Someone told me at the Denver Marian Conference that more people did searches on TikTok than they did on Google last year, which just I found almost unbelievable. Like, people are searching TikTok more than Google. So again, it shows you kind of where our young people are in the culture. But what does that mean? We have to be in those spaces as Catholics. Like, I'm a perfect example. I wanted nothing to do with TikTok at all until a month ago. I have a new person, a professional, solid Catholic professional, who's been doing my social media, took that over about a month ago. He's been doing a fabulous job. And he was the one that said, no, you got to be on TikTok, Deacon. You know, so many people there. It's a great way to impact. I know that Father Larry Richards and many others are on TikTok as well. I said, okay, go ahead and get it set up. And sure enough, already getting thousands of views for the little shorts and videos. I just, like, I had no idea, because I'm not in those spaces myself. That's why I have this guy doing it for me. But the way we can impact people, we have to be in those. So we shouldn't avoid them. They're going to be here. They're here to stay, just like AI. It's here to stay. But how can we as Catholics be in those spaces to meet, help young people and even people away from the church meet Jesus, to bring them back to the fullness and beauty of the faith? One of the reasons why we use music so much on Beacon of Truth. And I've had so many young people who listen to this show, not just the regular, whatever, the EW10 crowd, young people who listen to the show because the music is what draws them in. And then when the music draws them in, they listen to the content. Oh, wait a minute, they're really talking about real stuff. And they engage. I hear this from young people a lot, increasingly. And that's a good thing. So how can we, given these statistics, how can we engage more people to be more connected with their Catholic faith? That's what we're talking about today. And we would love to hear from you. Give us a call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Martin is calling from Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 130. Martin, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thanks for taking my call. I've got about three things that we're putting forth to stop the bleeding, as you would say.
All right.
The first is, personally, I'm getting a hold of every telephone number I can from my parish, and I'm calling these folks just to let them know we love them. We'd like to see them back, chit-chat, find out what's going on in their life, offer to pray, but make that effort to reach out and then hope to see them in Mass. Another thing that we're doing or trying to get started is a free, anybody welcome dinner. Knights of Columbus will provide the food. You have to bring two things. One, a story about you and your family so we get to know you. I look around. I don't know anybody in my church, hardly ever. You know, lots of people in the pews, and I know a handful. And I've been there since 78. The second thing to bring is somebody else as a guest, a family member that's fallen away, a friend that's fallen away, somebody that's never met Christ, somebody that may be struggling, you know, the guy on the street that you meet at work or at work. Come on. Yeah. Maybe throw a little music ministry in there during that time. And the last thing, maybe quarterly, bring in some inspirational speaker like Deacon Harold.
Well, you know what, Martin? I think you absolutely nailed it. I'm so overjoyed right now listening to you, Martin. Why? The first thing that this study said as to the reasons why people leave and don't come back: weaker social connections among Catholics. You know, we have a tendency. I'm not saying everybody does or every parish is like this, but you're speaking to this, Martin. You show up, you get your hour in, and you leave. You don't get time to really know anybody unless you're involved in like a Bible study or a men's group or a women's group or something like that, or a confirmation class or something, or OCIA. Then you're more involved. But the regular person in the pew, we have to start thinking of the parish like our second home, like a second family, and really treat it as a family, not just a place where I just go to do stuff. You know, no, it's an encounter with the living God, of course, in the sacraments and the Eucharist, especially, of course. But there's also a social connection there. And this study speaks to that. So when you talk about phoning people, just letting know, hey, haven't seen you for a while. Just want to let you know that we love you and we miss you. We'd love you to come back. I mean, that makes a big difference. It really does. That the people know that the church is still thinking about me. You know, the dinner and bringing a guest and sharing something about your family. Like, they really care. They really want to get to know me, you know, and I'm not just a person that shows up and just throws money in the collection basket. No, this is a family, and the church wants to get to know me so I can be a better part of this family. And then the inspirational speaker, that always helps, you know, bringing someone in, that, especially if they have a beautiful testimony to show how the power of God's love is working in their life and in their heart, so that person can be motivated to have a more active role in the parish, to see the parish again, not just as a place to show up to get a sacrament, but as where they can participate in a family, in a communion, right? I love that. Thank you so much for the beautiful call, Martin. We're talking about stemming the bleeding. How do we stop the bleeding of leaving the church and invite those who are away to come back? That's what we're talking about today on Beacon of Truth. Give us a call. Would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Julia is calling from Washington State, my neighbor to the north, listening on the EWTN app. Julia, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Thank you, Deacon Harold. I really appreciate you and your ministry and everyone there at EWTN. Thank you. Hey, so you asked a question about how do we bring people back? And I have a really, really simple answer. And it is the source and summit of our faith as Catholics. And we are the only one in the world that possess the physical presence of Jesus Christ in the tabernacle, in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. All we have to do, the only thing we have to do, Deacon Harold and everyone listening, is go to him. He's waiting there. He's just pining for our attention. He's just like, we're like, what do we do? I'm worried about this, that, and the other thing. Go to him and tell him. Tell him everything. Tell him what's in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. Tell him your worries. Tell him your troubles. Tell him your struggles. Then give him praise and thanksgiving and just say thank you for listening and thank you for taking care of it. And then trust and know that he will, because he created us, right? If he created us, he knows how to affix us. Now, this is very contrary to the world. And it may seem like you're going crazy because you're sitting there and you don't see anything with your eyes except for the curtain and the light and the candle in the tabernacle, of the tabernacle. But he is there. He is listening. He wants so badly to help us, to heal us, to guide us, to transform us, to mold us. It's that simple. It is truly that simple. Just go spend time with him, and you will see, I guarantee you, you will see miracles, not just in your own life, but in people all around you.
I love that. And I could not agree with you more. Adoration, adoration, adoration. Game changer, game over adoration. The thing that I would say to add to that is, how do you get people there? Because they don't want to go to Mass. Remember, before the pandemic, 79% of Catholics did not believe that Jesus was present in the Eucharist. 79% of people coming to Mass did not believe Jesus in the Eucharist. So what's going to make them come to adoration? Here's something I would do if I wanted the people to come. First of all, I would personally invite them and maybe take them out to dinner. Like, hey, let's grab some lunch. Let's grab an early dinner. You know, my treat. And the only thing, I just want you to come with me to adoration. What's adoration? I'm just going to sit here with Jesus for a while and just, I don't know if I want to. You don't have to do anything. Just sit there and just be quiet. See, at first, they're uncomfortable with silence because we're so filled with noise and distraction in our culture that we can't hear God's voice. So inviting someone to share an opportunity just to, as it says in Psalm 46, verse 11, be still and know that I am God. And the word there for know is yada in Hebrew, means knowledge that is gained by experience. So you can say, be still and experience God. As you talked about so beautifully, Julia, in the stillness, in the silence, and in the quiet. Just not even an hour. You know, come here, just sit here for like 20 minutes. The first time, you know, you bring someone there for the first time, who's not used to going, who's, I'm not sure about all this Eucharist stuff. Just come in, just be quiet. Just sit here and just, and what do I do? I'm uncomfortable. Just listen. Don't say anything. Just look at Jesus and just take a deep breath and just listen and see, you know, just share. If you have anything on your heart, just quietly share it with Jesus. That's all you got to do. And let Jesus take it over from there. I couldn't agree with you more, Julia. What a beautiful call. Eucharistic adoration. We're talking about stopping the bleeding of leaving the church. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. How do we stop the bleeding of people leaving the church and invite them to come back? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Hope is calling from Springfield, Virginia, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Hope, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello. I am 65-ish, and I have some coworkers who were Catholic and left the faith, and they've, I believe, joined an evangelical church, some of them. But they talked about just remembering Catholic guilt. And I want at one point to say to them that, well, number one, the most important thing is to have a relationship, a deep, 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 deep relationship with Jesus as a friend. But also focus on virtue. That, I mean, guilt is entirely important. But I think the church is also talking a lot more about, like, you got to watch, making sure you don't sin, but also what else can you do? You can build up virtue. And I think that's a very important counterbalance.
Yes, thank you, Hope. I actually mentioned that a little bit earlier on the show, exactly what you said. In fact, I'm so glad to hear that, Hope, because you just reinforced what I said earlier about living virtuously. I love that. But you're right. And I think, Hope, people confuse guilt with shame. What I mean by that, there's a Catholic guilt. Look, when you do something wrong, that's objectively wrong, that's morally wrong, your conscience wants to direct itself always toward God, always toward the truth. Right? John 14:6. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So truth, as you alluded to, Hope, is a dynamic relationship with the living God. So when you violate that trust, your conscience makes you feel guilty. That's a good thing. That says that your conscience is working properly. When you're convicted by something that you did that you know was wrong, and it bothers you in your conscience, that's good. Your conscience is working properly. Shame, that's guilt. Shame is when somebody finds out what you did. You see? Then the person feels ashamed. And I think we confuse guilt with shame, so that when I do something wrong, oh, the church is going to condemn me because I did this thing. No, the church wants to forgive you. That's what the sacrament of reconciliation for. You open your heart to receive everything that God wants to give you in that beautiful sacrament of his unfathomable divine mercy. You know, I love that. So yeah, so we can't confuse guilt and shame. So again, guilt means your conscience is working properly. Love that call. Thank you so much, Hope. And virtuous living as a counterbalance in cooperating with the grace of reconciliation. I love that. Stopping the bleeding of leaving the church is what we're talking about today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. April is calling from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, listening on Holy Family Radio. April, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi, Deacon. I just want to say I truly get a lot out of your program. I'm so thankful for you and all of the fantastic educational programming on Holy Family Radio and EWTN. I am a Methodist. I am not a Catholic, but I wanted to say, from my perspective, I feel that the way to stop the bleeding or fend it off is to, A, do all they can to keep up with fantastic catechesis in each individual parish, whether that's in the universities or wherever the priests and the lay people are being trained to really make sure that they are offering the best education for them as teachers and as people who work with people. The other thing I'd like to say, part of my family is Catholic, and I feel that the one of the greatest impacts on me is my sister-in-law, who's Catholic. My brother became Catholic when he married her. She, to me, is the greatest model of that. I think from what I've seen, people that I know who left the Catholic Church or who are not attending, they've either been hurt where they see a lot of hypocrisy in it. And that's not just for Catholic Church. That could be any church. I know I've been hurt both by my own denomination, but by other Protestant denominations. And so I think people leave because they're hurt in some way and they see hypocrisy. I'm just throwing that out. But yeah, the biggest things are the catechesis. And I think some Catholics that I know don't really seem to have, or if I can be so audacious as to say, maybe not a full understanding or seeing a full implementation of their faith. Not that, you know, I know better than them. I certainly don't. And that's why I listen to Holy Family Radio. I feel that it is filling in the gap for me as a Christian on my Christian faith. And so I really, really appreciate the radio. So those are my things, catechesis and modeling, I guess it's three, and just trying to avoid hypocrisy if it can be, you know, or addressing those people who might feel hurt.
Yes, April, excellent, excellent comments. First of all, you are most welcome. You know, you're a Methodist, you're not Catholic. You are most, most welcome, warmly welcome anytime to call the show. And I'm so glad that you're listening to Holy Family Radio. But you're right, catechesis. See, we have to form the mind and the heart. It's both. And the more we learn about the why of the faith, why are sacraments important? Yeah, can I go to Mass? What does that have to do with my life every day? So you're right. Catechesis of the mind and the heart, and also the example, the witness that we can give to others. You know, I could talk about the faith, but I could live the faith. And that witness is powerful. Beautiful call. All right. Great show today. Tomorrow, my friends, we're going to talk about gender ideology and Catholic schools. This is part one of two. And remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio. Until we're together again, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.